there's a beautiful connection with people on a relationship basis that, you know, for me, that's the fulfillment of the role that we do, is, you know, having those long-term relationships. And after, you know, 10 years of doing real estate is where 90% of my business pretty much comes from.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, joining me is the principal of Bell Property Central Coast, winner of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales Salesperson of the Year in 2014, 2015 and 2018, and an industry leader who delivers unparalleled customer excellence to her clients and premium leadership to her team. Welcome to the show, Kathy Baker.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have you here, actually. I always love it when I can talk fond memories of the Central Coast with anyone, because I'm from there myself. So
yeah, it's always good to have a local on board.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're not originally from the Central Coast, are you?
No, I'm originally from the Yorkshire Dales.
Yeah. How did you get from halfway around the world to Kilcare, New South Wales?
I basically had mum and dad buy me a round the world ticket for my 21st birthday, and left with 2 years of travelling around the world, and landed in Australia where my sister was living at the time, decided I loved it and never left.
It has that effect on you, doesn't it?
Like, it does, yeah, it certainly does.
Yeah, and the weather, obviously.
Yeah, there's so much to enjoy here, that's for sure, yeah.
Yeah. You weren't always a real estate agent either. So you've had a few careers as a chef and as an interior designer. So did you choose real estate, or did real estate choose you?
A bit of both, really. I suppose I fell across real estate by chance when I was looking for a new career path. So at the time, just before my 40th birthday, I'd had an interior design business from home, and my husband had a building business from home, and I was approached by somebody that had a real estate business to come and work for them. And that's sort of, I didn't really know much about real estate and hadn't taken much interest really in property up to that point. And yeah, I like the thought of the connection with people and the challenge that it offered.
Yeah, absolutely. And how have the last couple of months been for you in this crazy sort of time that we've all didn't think we'd ever experience in our lifetimes, but somehow have? How has the market, et cetera, been on the Central Coast?
Look, I think, we've probably had, been hit pretty hard, because I would say 70% of our buyers are from Sydney or overseas. So when COVID hit, none of them were coming up to look at property. And our holiday business, you know, we had about just under 500 bookings cancel overnight, and holiday rental business sort of became obsolete for 3 months, and, you know, with an unknown factor of how long it'd be before we could reopen that side of the business. But, you know, I think if you just keep focused on the people that need to sell, the people that need to buy, and keep moving forward, I just plowed myself into the only thing I know how to do, which is head down, bum up, and 16-hour day work to make more connective calls than ever before. And I took myself back probably to the beginning of my career, and was making 150 connections per day with people in my database. The fact that I'd had such a strong database that I'd built over the previous 5 years was something that I could rely on during that 3 month period, and knowing that if I had more stock when I came out of COVID, that it would put me in a great position to recover quickly, was the key thing that I remained focused on. And you know, that's rung true, that, you know, our holiday rentals are back to 100% occupancy. I had more stock than anybody else, so I was dominating the market as soon as, you know, people started to travel and look at properties. So instantly, within the month of June, I think I've sold 16 properties. So, you know, it's allowed me to get back what I've lost in those few months quite quickly, and transition back into a different way of working, because, you know, some of those things that you become complacent with because you're used to people flooding through open houses and you used to work in a certain way, takes you away from what you perhaps did many years ago, which is spending more time showing one buyer six properties and, you know, putting more time and effort into really getting to know everybody that lives in a certain street in your suburb and, you know, filling in the blanks in your prospecting plan of making sure that you get, you know, the data on people so that you can do more email marketing and more Facebook marketing and things directly to a source as opposed to blanket marketing.
So what sort of conversations were you having with people during that time making that many phone calls?
I built a charity here 5 years ago for the local community. So, you know, most of my conversations were coming from a place of community care because we were providing, I have a group of 30 volunteers, so we were providing meals and things to the elderly that were in isolation and genuinely helping people that needed help during that time. So most of my conversations were really just checking in on people to see how they were, what had happened since our last conversation, getting an update of, you know, what life was like and if there was anything there I could do to help them. And obviously from that, conversations open up to, you know, their plans or, you know, what things look like for them or any stresses that they may be having. And you can get a gauge on, you know, that person first as far as their needs and anything likely to eventuate down the track that you could be there to assist them from. But, you know, very much that way. And, you know, if you've built a relationship and you've got a reputation within your marketplace, then people receive those sort of calls very well and, you know, they're not distasteful calls and they're certainly not, you know, do you want an appraisal or, you know, a direct real estate call, but that soft contact with people, you know, shows that you're coming from the right place and just being there for them when you need to be there as a community ambassador as opposed to a real estate agent.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember we did a story with you last year just before the areas on your philosophy towards client service, which is much more of a relationship than just a transaction. And I remember you saying that the relationship really begins after the transaction, which is very different to other real estate agents who are quite transactional. So can you explain to me how that works in your business?
Once somebody buys a house through us, they become part of my Bell family. And through that, they get an exclusive membership. And the first part of that would be me sitting down with them and looking at doing a 5-year life plan with them to look at how, why have they bought this house? What is life going to look like in the next 5 years? And how can I add some value through this journey with them and, you know, anybody else in their family? And what that might bring up maybe that, you know, they bought a holiday house, but within 2 years they want it to become their primary residence, so they'll downsize in Sydney. You know, they may have other investment properties. You know, what does that look like in the next few years? Well, they basically bought those initially just ad hoc for, you know, the fact that their friend had one and they suggested they bought into an area. Are they producing the right rental return? Is there anything that could be done to help them with those things? So I take basically then control of the whole property portfolio as a trusted advisor and help them through that journey of what the next 5 years looks like. So I can help them make great decisions regarding their property through their lifestyle plan, knowing what that looks like. And then that's where my touch points come in. So over the next period of time, when I'm catching up with them, we're actually reviewing where we're at with regards to this plan. But also I'm connecting with them to invite them to community events, to send them a copy of my magazine quarterly. I have a personal website, so they connect with that to come and do cooking classes, or they might join in with a community yoga, or there's various different things that we run through there. But basically I see the value in connecting with clients for life in a real term, and I have a plan behind how we look after people, you know, from the minute that they do business with us for the rest of their time. And when somebody leaves on the other side of things and decides to sell with me and move out the area, we throw a goodbye party with 10 of their friends, and those people come on board to say goodbye. And then we generally stay in touch even if they've moved to Sydney, because quite often they'll come back and stay with a friend and call in and we'll have coffee. So there's a beautiful connection with people on a relationship basis that, you know, for me, that's the fulfillment of the role that we do is, you know, having those long-term relationships. And after, you know, 10 years of doing real estate is where 90% of my business pretty much comes from repeat and referral business that calls in during the week to say, we've referred you to so-and-so, can you go list their house or can you sell my property down in Sydney? You know, I probably do, I'd say 20 or 30 transactions a year where I'm referring Sydney properties for sale to an agent within our Bell network from people that are up here that have bought through me. So there's, you know, that side of it as well.
Yeah, amazing. I heard some sort of statistic during COVID that there would be a lot of people wanting to move once the lockdown was over, like more people choosing lifestyle locations to live because we've all proven now that we can work from wherever. Have you had an increase in inquiry since the end of COVID?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things that people have realised during COVID, and firstly, that is a realisation for a lot of people in Sydney, and certainly if they're under a little bit of financial stress or job security has become an issue during that time, they've also considered lifestyle because of the fact that they've had time out from work and realised how hard they were running and want to get that life balance in a better way. So a lot of young families from the Northern Beaches particularly are relocating up here. A lot of retirees coming out of Sydney too. A lot of double income, no kids who are having a dual lifestyle where they've got a house up here and an apartment in Sydney. So they may have downsized the apartment in Sydney after COVID, realising it was a hard place to work from home and spending 4 or 5 days a week up on the coast at their holiday house and 3 days midweek in Sydney. Yeah, there's a lot more of that, but there's also a lot of people buying and investing into holiday homes because they see the need to have that time together with their families at prime times of Christmas, school holiday periods, and being able to, you know, get some quality time out and enjoy life.
Yeah, I think if COVID's taught us one thing, it's that, you know, life can be short and confusing at times, so, you know, we might as well enjoy it while it's here.
Exactly true. And the other part of my market is probably the expats looking to come back from having worked overseas for a number of years, where the holiday rental returns here are as good or if not better than Palm Beach. So a lot of those people investing to a holiday house here with the plan to come and use it for 4 weeks at Christmas when they come back to visit, but then with a long-term plan of relocating up to the coast when they come back from their stint overseas. And, you know, as an investment with the capital growth and the rental returns, it's very viable.
That whole area, like I remember it was very quiet when I was a kid around that, you know, sort of McMaster's Beach, Copacabana, Kilcare, those other beaches. But you look on realestate.com.au now and there's some amazing properties that are not cheap up that way.
Yeah, it's certainly not the poor relation to Sydney anymore, that's true.
No, it's very true. So you've got 14 staff there under your wing, and I thought it would be interesting to do the Leadership Diaries questions with you today because it's quite interesting for other leaders to sort of hear how leaders such as yourself are navigating their way through this time. So what was your first job and what did it teach you?
I was a florist at age 14, working in a flower shop, and I suppose customer service, client care, that's where a lot of that came from, but also attention to detail.
What does the first hour of your day look like? Are you a 5 a.m. clubber and how do you sort of structure your day after that?
Yeah, I am a 5 a.m. clubber and I do the miracle morning routine every morning religiously to get my mindset right, my energy right, have my priorities right for the day. And by 7 o'clock, I'll be in the office. I've had a walk. I've started my day the right way. Come in the office and I'm highly productive. I'll pull out 50 connections with clients before 9 o'clock and have dealt with all my emails and all the members of my team in a Zoom meeting before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Can you name someone that's had a big impact on you as a leader?
Gillian McGrath was my coach for the first 5 years, and she's probably the person that throughout my 10-year career has probably had the most impact. I've had lots of other coaches and mentors and people, but consistently Gillian would have been the person that was more hands-on for the first 5 years where I really needed that help and the person that still to this day inspires me to go to the next level.
Amazing. Where do great ideas in your business come from?
I'm continually innovating and learning and, you know, reading and looking overseas and other areas, but also my team, you know, I fully embrace everybody in my team having input into our business and the journey. So I think when you have that open mentality, then people actually feed ideas through very freely, which is, nice because then they're engaged with the whole plan.
Yeah, absolutely, a sense of collaboration. What is your favourite question to ask someone in a job interview and what does the answer tell you about them?
I always like to ask people where they see their life in 5 years' time and, you know, how they're going to get there, because I'm a big believer in having a vision board, a life plan and a business plan. I've always had one for a decade, so I'm always living 10 years in front of where I am, and I like to see how people respond to that question, because it gives me some sense of, you know, how forward planning they are, how much belief that in themselves they've got and how much drive they've got to try and achieve big goals.
Good answer. What is one characteristic you think every leader should have today in 2020?
I think the important shift for leadership in 2020 is to really be focused on building culture within your business as opposed to just hiring for skill. And I think leading by example is always walking the talk by setting the standard high from the front so that people are inspired to follow. Two things, I'd say.
Yeah, I notice you make a lot of calls, and that's something that, you know, you'd probably be asking your team to do, but you're not going to ask them to do it unless they see you doing it too.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best way to help a new employee understand the culture of your business?
I think by going through the exercise that we do in our playbook session where we get them to design their vision board is one of probably the first things that I'd have a new employee do, so that we can understand them intricately and what makes them tick, what their interests are and, you know, what their aspirations are, because once you fully connect and are involved in somebody's life that way, you can sort of know how to help them throughout that journey. And once they see that you're invested in being, you know, interested in them as a person and not just as an employee, they tend to give more to the team, and also getting them to shadow other people within the team to sort of make them feel comfortable within that first period of time. But we've got a very strong induction process that covers off all those elements.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. So they're doing their own vision board. I guess, you know, when times get tough, you can sort of help them to revisit their why, if you like.
Exactly, yeah, just connecting with them on a deeper level to make sure, you know, they're fulfilling their life dreams as well as, you know, their career goals.
Yeah. What advice would you give someone who wanted to go into a leadership position for the first time?
I would say to definitely consider having a session with a high performance coach who can do, you know, to have a caliper test on yourself, to do a SWOT analysis, to sit with somebody who's been ahead of where you are, whether it's a coach or a mentor, to really sort of question your why. What is it you're going into leadership for? Is it because you want to own your own business, or do you want to lead a team, or is it that you're looking at it because you want to earn more money, or what are the reasonings behind it? And looking down the track, what does that look like in 5 years or 10 years' time? And then working back from that, so how will you get there? What do you need to implement? And, you know, what are the skills that you need in order to move from where you are now to there, and then put in a detailed plan in place to help you get there?
Yeah, always about the plan, how you're going to get from here to there. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What's the worst advice you've ever heard given to someone starting a career in real estate?
So many cringeworthy moments of people that are just focused on the commission breath, as we call it, you know, people that are focused on the dollars of what they're making weekly or what they're getting out of each deal, as they, so to speak. You know, a lot of agents have been thrown in the deep end without and are expected to go out and, you know, get listings from day one when they've never had any industry experience, which is, you know, the worst thing that I cringe when I see that happening, because, you know, I always believe that people need to come into a company and work alongside a lead agent doing buyer work before they can ever become an agent fully, and if they have that right introduction to real estate, but that old go out there and, you know, make $30,000 off this next sale is just that sort of money talk, just really doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You've tried a lot of things in your career, like different things, like through being a chef and a florist and all that sort of thing. Is there anything you're afraid to do, or would you do if you weren't afraid to do it?
Well, Gillian would tell you that 5 years ago, she tried to get me to speak to a group of ladies in the McGrath Northern Beaches and help me overcome the fear of public speaking, which was something I never wanted to do. And she convinced me to do that. And then 5 years later, I got the invite to do ARIC, which is, you know, probably one of the things that was one high up there on my list of things that I would, you know, never think I could be capable of doing. But, you know, I've conquered that fear digitally, and next year I'll conquer it in person. And I suppose, no, not anymore. I feel like if you're going to lead a team, you need to be brave enough to sort of be able to get out of your comfort zone. And having run a business for the last 10 years through many different markets, I think that I've probably jumped out of all of my comfort zones, and also with my four boys and many other different life experiences. So I think now I just sort of embrace them now and sort of hit them head on and try and sort of look at how I can overcome them as quickly as possible.
Amazing. What does leadership at home look like?
Leadership at home is quite different. All my boys are grown up now and independent. So, you know, my husband probably runs the home scene much more than I do, because I do still spend a lot of time at work, but I'm very conscious to be present when I am at home and sort of, you know, making sure I have one-on-one time and great quality time with each of my boys and my partner. So, yeah, just planning, I suppose, you know, bringing that planning side in to, you know, when we're catching up for family meals and trips away and all the fun stuff now I get to lead the way with.
Yeah, so it's plan the family stuff, because work can take over if you leave it like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Kathy, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast this morning, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with all of us. If there was one thing that you would like to leave the audience with, what would it be, or one piece of advice?
I think, you know, just dream big and make sure you strive to live your best life. I think my father always taught me that you can achieve anything you want in this world if you have a clear vision of what you want and a plan of how you're going to achieve it. And, you know, there is an amazing amount of support out there. So no matter how much it could be hard that you've been through a hard period or there's challenges ahead, you know, reach out and ask somebody, how can I get through this, or what can I do to push myself forward? And, you know, just strive to live a big, enjoyable life.
Yeah, that's it. We've only got one life, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly. Kathy Baker, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.